I don't know about you, but the topic of leadership is confounding. There are so many theories and concepts and guidebooks and textbooks that contradict one another and create confusion. Do I stand tall? Do I lead from the front? Do I lean in or do I support from the sidelines? I don't know. And I get bombarded with all kinds of people who want me to talk about their theory on leadership, and none of it really works for me. And I say that because I have no idea what it means really to be a leader. I really don't. I just have had to trust my gut that somehow I was doing the right thing. And I know quickly enough when I'm doing the wrong thing because that feedback is immediate. But the right thing, well, the evidence unfolds slowly and its effect is incremental at best, and mostly it seems to be invisible. So I was really relieved when Susan Ney published her book, Leadership Inside Out. It's a book about unearthing the leader inside of you and changing your world for the better. As Susan says, getting to that place of self-discovery and confidence is a journey, and it is one that is filled with awe, wonderment, a little tinge of sadness every now and then, and some disappointment. But ultimately, it is about developing an appreciation of who you are and the confidence that comes with that. I invited author, speaker, HR professional, and philosopher Susan Ney to join me for a conversation that matters about leadership from the inside out. Susan, welcome.
Thank you. What a lovely introduction.
Well, I'm genuine when I say I get bombarded by people who say, do this about leadership, and you got to this, that, and the next thing, and they seem so confusing, or they have rigid rules, and you're going, no, it starts here. Why? What was your journey of discovery that allowed you to get to that point that you said, no, leadership begins within?
I think just as you've described, because leadership is all of those things. But what we don't do is listen to our gut, you know, and it's that gut feel, because leadership is situational. You know, sometimes it's got to be directional, sometimes it's got to be just collaborative, sometimes it's got to be letting somebody make mistakes so that they can learn. And it takes time to discover that. You know, we come to the work environment and we aspire often, many of us, to take on promotional opportunities. Many of us don't get the training that we should be getting because now you're overseeing individuals as opposed to your technological expertise or whatever, your technical expertise. And we learn, but most of that is figuring out who we are. It's like, why would anyone follow me if I wouldn't follow myself, right? And I think that's been my greatest learning through many of the mistakes that I made along the way, is who am I? And what do I stand for? And through the book, I hope to encourage people to do that, to take a look at the situations, and instead of just beating ourselves up, we're so very hard on ourselves, of just, what just happened? I think they call it the after-action review. What have I just learned from it? And what can I do differently going forward? You know, and then those gremlins inside our brains, that negative self-talk that gets to everybody. I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone who didn't struggle with that. And questioning those, you know, not letting the ego inside us to take us over. And just, how can I reframe this? You know, are the assumptions that I'm making accurate? And when you start, I think, I can't remember who it was, called it the power of the pause. Mm-hmm. When something happens, to just take that moment and just breathe and then listen to your gut. You know, when you first started out just saying, you know, I need to listen to my gut. The answers are often there.
Well, yeah, because you don't wind up in that position of leadership in an organization or even individually or doing something without something that has led you to that point. So you bring something with it. But you know, you start your book by talking about the fears that held you back.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important that we understand that the powerful role those fears play in helping us find what we may intuitively or inherently know to be a right course of action, but we second guess ourselves?
I think certainly in North America, we've been raised where we're constantly being judged, right? Through the school system, through the cultural norms of your family, the way you've been raised. And so it's interesting. I've just picked up Brené Brown's book on Daring Greatly. And she talks about vulnerability. And we're so afraid to put ourselves out there that often it's more courageous to not do anything than to step up. Again, I'm borrowing from John Izzo and The Purposeful Revolution when he talks about the importance of stepping up. To feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's when...
Well, isn't that what true courage is?
That's like, when the grand adventure starts.
Right.
Right? Like, but it's uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really important to sit in that discomfort. You know, we were talking earlier, you know, and the courage for you to start conversations that matter. And I'm sure that it's been like this. I'd be happy if it was like this for you.
Of course not.
And the more that we can talk about those realities, the reality in the route to becoming a leader, that of course you're going to trip and fall. And what I've loved is when people that I really respected were honest with me. And in the book I talk about the senior vice president who talked to me about the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, the fact that he would share with me his vulnerability meant the world to me, because in the moments that I've wondered, should I be doing this? You know, and there's a ton of fear. Publishing a book, oh my goodness, and it's quite personal. I've talked about my own journey. And
yes, you do. You really are quite open.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if more of us were like that with one another? If when we had conversations that they did matter, because you knew that you were talking to the real person and there wasn't this facade, these masks that we wear, and we don't even know that we're wearing them. We're so good at hiding our feelings, burying, you know, for me, I refer to it as being the good girl, you know, not rocking the boat, and to heck with that.
I have to jump in here a little bit because my mind goes to, yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely. And the more honest I am, like I'm in part of my own sort of philosophy in life, I'm guided a little bit by something that I read from Dr. Carl Rogers in his book on becoming a person. And he talked about the thing that is so most personal is most universal. Mm-hmm. So you may think that you're the only person in the world who's experiencing that, and yet it is a universal feeling. Even knowing that, I know that there are times there are people who will use that personal information that I go, okay, I'm going to be bold enough to share it, and then I wind up using it in one, some way or another, mm-hmm. to their own gain or to my detriment. And so we can't be so completely open to the fact that I'm just going to share, like, to be a leader, you have to measure all of these things. And so you have to find that balance, mm-hmm. in that transparency, that openness, that honesty. And that, I think, takes even more courage.
Yeah, I guess it's about putting the thicker skin on.
Are you any good at that?
Probably not as good as I
I know.
Well, and but it's also about... So it's okay, my mind's going a whole bunch of different directions.
Good.
Too.
Share.
So part of it is that, and I talk about it as ripples, right?
Yes.
Whenever you're going to do something, it's really important to actually sit down and think about, if I do X, Y, and Z, and A, and B, and C could happen, and prepare myself for those.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I like about your book. You're not saying, here's the formula, rule one, do this, outcome there, go here, which there are an awful lot of, like, you're this, you're that, and then you're going to get this particular outcome. I don't think it works that way, because you point out, no, it's leadership is as individual as you are.
And there's a bajillion variables.
Yeah.
But to sit down and to try to anticipate what might happen and to prepare yourself for that just sets you up more positively. In my experience, often when I do that, the consequences have typically not been as severe as I anticipated. And
right.
Sometimes they have been. And, you know, you just have to get up, brush your knees off, figure out what would I do differently or better next time, and choose to live life that way. I love the word choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because really what the book is about is don't be the victim. I have watched, and I'm sorry, I'm probably not answering half of the questions that you're asking me, but bear with me.
You're answering even more. Yeah.
So, oh no, I've lost my train of thought.
Choice. You talk about choice.
Yes,
because
yes.
Every time you choose one thing, you're choosing not the other.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what I watched is a really sad level of disengagement in organizations I've worked in, and in being a consultant, I've worked in even more organizations and see the same dilemma. But I also see people who complain that I've not received feedback, and I say, well, ask for it. Do your own self-assessment. Make sure your supervisor knows that you're interested in stretch opportunities or that you'd like to take a certain course. Do your own research. When I worked at one organization, we ended up canceling lunch and learns because the employees said they didn't feel that they should have to learn on their own time.
That was the response.
My heart still hurts when I even say that. It's like we have to be lifelong learners. Oh, we don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything, that's right.
But when you choose to be a lifelong learner, then you keep your knife edge sharp. If something happens to you that all of a sudden, like the pandemic, that nobody could have contemplated, that you are well able, both psychologically and talent-wise, able to look elsewhere, right? And it's the self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when people have been in organizations for a long time, you know, it's lots of anxiety about going out there again and putting yourself through the recruitment process and the uncertainty about, you know, especially when it's a job that you know, it's the perfect job and then waiting to find out whether you got it. It's hard on the psyche. It's hard on people's self-confidence.
Right.
But the more that you've prepared yourself for that, you know, the more that you have used opportunities when someone said, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind spending a few minutes with you. If you want to practice what an interview would look like, it's amazing how many times I've offered that and how rarely people take me up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fear. It goes back to that fear. It's like, oh, maybe she didn't really mean it.
Okay, so you brought up careers, working environment, leadership, and there's leadership at so many different levels within an organization. You've worked in the HR arena, and you see the impact of poor leadership. How important is it for an organization that they're paying attention to helping each of these leaders develop their style in a way that will fit with the objectives of the organization, help that person grow, but also be supportive of their team members?
Well, that's absolutely critical. The statistics indicate that 90% of people leave their boss. They don't actually leave the organization.
Oh, they leave their boss.
They leave their boss.
Oh, it's not the job they don't like, it's the boss they don't like.
That's the statistics, yeah. So people, again, it's that self-awareness, right? Recognizing, oh, I'm now no longer a heavy equipment operator. I have now agreed that I'm going to take the lead hand position on and I'm going to oversee a team. That might require some different skills. And we giggle, but that happens all the way to the top. And I would say, especially in smaller organizations that don't necessarily have HR departments, where, you know, it's important for the individual to recognize that these are skills. You know, these are skills that you need to build about understanding your own leadership style. You know, I love the DISC and Insight and some of those other personality profile programs. Often people go, how in the world can answering a few questions so appropriately describe who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll take it home and go, this isn't me, and their partner will go, oh yes, sweetheart, it is. And I've seen that. And And then just understand that, oh, I'm a conflict avoider. So,
and that can bring out a whole host of problems when you're leading a team, isn't it?
And it does, because what happens is that things that need to be dealt with, you know, and often it can be that somebody's not realizing that their behavior is inappropriate, and they just need that. I love the teaching moments about catching someone and just explaining what needs or what should change there, not making it, you know, not letting it fester. But too frequently, those things don't get dealt with because people are uncomfortable with them. And then they become huge, and
right.
they still don't get dealt with. And then all of a sudden someone says, oh, yes, perfect employee, and they get moved off to another department.
And then it becomes somebody else's problem.
Yeah, and that's not fair to the organization. It's
no.
not fair to the individual or to the colleagues that they're working with.
So when you say that teaching moment arises, it can arise when somebody has there might be an opportunity to offer some insight for improvement. Usually that's what we think of. But, you know, my former boss when I was at BCTV, Ron Bremner, I'm going to give him a shout out here because I think he's just such a wonderful guy. He says, you know, I think you've got to remember to catch people in the act of doing something great and let them know that you appreciate what they're doing. And I think he's absolutely right. And because leadership is about, you know, making sure that it works, but you're helping to help your team also realize their potential.
Oh, absolutely. And how important it is when you catch somebody who just handled a difficult call that you happen to overhear to take that moment and say, wow, well done.
Yeah.
I could hear the tone, you know, the person was talking loudly enough, or I saw how you handled that difficult situation at the front desk. How important that is. I've just used an example. I just received this beautiful card from my daughter who's in the UK, and she complimented me on a podcast I'd done with John Izzo on his book, and how lovely it was for her to take those lessons as she's launching into a career teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how that warmed my heart?
Yeah.
That she was sharing with me how important that was to her and that I'd made a difference. And I think she said, you're actually sending ripples across the Atlantic.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. And so it doesn't matter where we are in our career. And so, you know, I use the example of somebody overseeing someone handling a difficult situation at reception, but it goes the opposite way too. Is when you know that you're, or you have a sense that your boss is heading into a difficult, challenging meeting, and then just checking in. That's mm-hmm. what team's all about. That's about having each other's back, and not these perceptions of, you know, people on pedestals. And that's not the way our organizations. It may be how many of our organizations work. It's got to change.
Or that they were structured in the past, but the whole organizational flow chart these days, especially post COVID-19, is changing. And so we have to have dynamic leadership that can meet those interesting challenges that are now going to be having a workforce that may choose to work part-time from home, part-time in the office, maybe only from home, maybe only in the office. And then what are some, like, it is such a complex study. And what I like about your book is that you're saying there is not a one size that fits all. What does fit, though, is what you have inside of you and your confidence or your own belief in your ability to make good decisions.
And it goes further than that, because it's also about understanding what are your core values. You know, and it's funny, I was talking to somebody who there's two similar organizations that are moving forward from the pandemic, and they're starting to open up, right? Staff are starting to come back. One is absolutely adamant that all staff is to come back, work from the office. And the other is, no, we're going to take a look at each position and determine the ones that can work from home. These, wow, you know, we've learned something positive through this pandemic. So, me as an individual, the one that's flexible, that's recognizing that there's something different that we may have learned from, that we could make it an even better work environment going forward, that's the one I'm going to sign up for,
mm-hmm.
because that fits for me. somebody who is much more comfortable with rules, you know, tell me how to do it, you know, let me go and look at a procedural binder, and, you know, I need the rote step. And there's nothing wrong with either, but it's understanding what works best for you. And my encouragement is spend that time, figure out who you are. You know, are you someone who likes a more laissez-faire, or is your preference a more traditional model? Are you looking for a boss who tells you how to do it, when to do it? You know, no opportunity for you to be creative. That's a whole different boss than somebody who says, okay, here's the goal. I'd like to learn. I'd like to see how you'd approach that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to see, you know, and I'll coach you.
Right.
I'll be there. Come and ask me questions. You know, I know what would work for me. But I've also seen lots of people who are much more comfortable with the other model. And so that's the internal work that's so critical. And I think the schools are getting better. You know, they're having kids journal, and they're starting to encourage them to, how are you feeling? What are you doing with those feelings? It's certainly, when we went through school, we didn't have any of that.
Okay, Susan, so just in the last couple of minutes here, what do you say to somebody who goes, oh, you're making it sound all so nice and so easy, because it's not. What do we say to them, and how does your book address that and say, this is tough, but it's really about making sure that you as an individual find your right path?
It is tough, and that's why I wrote about the ripples. There are people who have got situations that are absolutely horrific and challenging, and it is going to be more difficult. But it's again a choice. And so my encouragement is, what are the options? You know, can you take a different attitude towards it? Can you, it may not be right now, but perhaps in the future, can you keep kind of open to doing differently, thinking differently? And that was a challenge in writing the book. And certainly the experiences that I had and spoke of are going to be like this compared to what many others do. The point I was trying to make is that, you know, we all have things that happen in our lives that are create heartbreak, discouragement, and we can live in that. We can make a choice to live with that heaviness. Why would we?
Well,
really?
Sometimes because it's what we know.
Yeah, and you know, I realize that mental illness gets in the way as well, that and, you know, are there things that could be helping with that? You know,
right.
Are you prepared to talk to somebody if you're feeling down and can't come out of the spiral? It's about, again, it's that lovely word, choice.
So show us the book, because I'm out of time now. I want people to see it, and where can they get it?
Amazon.
On Amazon.
Amazon.
It's called Leadership Inside Out, Affecting Change from Within by Susan G. Nay. Susan, thank you very much for joining
talk
me.
About the podcast.
Oh, yes, your podcast, too.
Sorry.
That's right. Where do they find your podcast?
Human Resources, HR Inside Out, Demystifying Human Resources and People Management. And we talk about everything that.
And my encouragement would be to say, go there, because this really, what we've talked about today, is just a glimpse into the world of leadership and human resources. And you're bringing in extraordinary guests that are helping to, you know, open up, you know, what may have been a mystery to people beforehand. So thank you very much.
See, I stretched.
Yeah. Good one.
Thanks for the time with you today.
Great. Thanks.